You open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. How does your garden grow? He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, hope he's speaking to all of us, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, pray that this word, I know your word never returns void, but it's not in vain to the hearer. Father, that we might receive it as the good ground. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd ask you this morning, where does your seed fall? I told the folks at the first two services, this is a message that you can put into operation immediately. Where does your seed fall? I hope you have some familiarity with the parable of the seeds from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Our Lord spoke. We'll not take the time to read the entire parable this morning. I find that far too often we become what many call saved, and we simply let the ground go. Are we not as a garden? Must we not prepare the fertile ground daily? The parable said, but other fell into good ground. Gave us the example, which we'll speak some of the four different things that can occur when the Word of God comes. But I found these four different things, you can use them in all things. You can use them daily in whatever it is you do, whether you be a keeper at home or work out in the world or raise children. In all things, this lesson applies. Which ground does God's word fall upon daily in your life? Now, that ground, listen, is up to you. It's up to me. Because God's word doesn't change. The seed doesn't change. You see? And I fear in the parable of the seeds of the sower that the first three most often receive the seed. If you remember, one fell by the wayside. Some this morning, I watched them. I'm preaching, and they're over there talking. They're over there doing their own thing. When the devil took that seed, that seed's not going anywhere. Except away from the one that should be hearing. And then, of course, we know that one fell upon stony ground, and the earth was shallow, and it sprung up, and there wasn't, you know, there was great joy, but, you know, as soon as you leave church, well, there it goes. Or whatever it is you're doing. And then the third, which I always felt most, I fell among thorns, and it gets choked out by the cares and riches of this world and many other things, pain, misery, problems, worries, woes, frivolity, vanity, all sorts of things. So I fear that most seed, they fall into those categories. And this fertile ground, this good ground, it said, but it fell upon good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. This good ground comes not by happenstance. It must first be broken up. I often find my own ground becoming hard and caked, as it is most often down here in South Texas. We have drought caused by no rain. But in our life, in this body, those droughts are not of God. They're of our own making. The hard ground's of our own making. There's nothing wrong in the ground itself, but the preparation. It must be watered. It must be tilled, broken up. It must receive proper care in order that we might have a bountiful harvest of fruit. I don't see any fruit in our midst. I'm being honest with you folks. I see very little, if any, fruit in our midst. I see really far too many that just own land. I've got a few neighbors, and they all own land. We're out in rural area. I've got a neighbor like that. He possesses a barren wasteland. I mean, it looks like somebody poisoned it. And he has cattle, but they've nothing to eat there. You know, our lives in Christ are there as a vineyard, and they must be cared for as such. I'm asking you this morning, how does your garden grow? I've passed the golf course here in town at night, and I've observed the lights out on that golf course. It's a greenskeeper. It's a man that they pay to keep that place beautiful and green, and the lights glowing in the darkness. And the beauty of the greens and the fairways, that thing, they don't look that way by accident. People would look at a golf course like, I would, my yard would look like. Well, it could. There's only one thing that prevents that. You and I. We're the greenskeeper, you see. Part of the beauty of the game of golf itself is actually the field upon which it's played. Much water, sand, fertilizer, mowing, aeration. A lot of sheer labor involved in that thing. But the fruits of that thing are, if it's a nice course, or it's fruit of a good garden. You ever driven by a garden and just looked and it's so beautiful? Everything in its row, and every row straight, and this beautiful fruit. Well, that didn't just happen. Did God give that man better ground? Did he give him better fruit? No. That man, he took care of that garden a certain way, and that's what that garden yielded. People have told me, well, God talks you to... Well, maybe he does sometimes. But there's something involved. Those people, they've put something into it. How many times have you read the Word of God? How often do you read the Word of God? How often I found those... in Christ, they simply receive the ground and say, well, that's it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I'm saved. Amen. I thought it said always abounding in the work of the Lord. No, I can't make grass grow. But bless God, I can make preparation. I can at least scratch the ground. You know, this body is not simply some organic entity. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Are not our works, that same part of Corinthians, to be tried as silver and gold and wood, hay and stubble? I dare say with most, there's nothing growing, nothing worthwhile. A poor crop indeed. You know, every parable I find that Christ gave us deals with gain. Or you might say, here, you do it. It's not so much the inheritance. Listen, it's not so much the inheritance, it's what we do, what's to be done with that inheritance. Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? Another neighbor of mine, he's a beautiful carpet grass lawn, and he takes great pride in it and waters it constantly, and he's quite proud of it. But he found out recently that the hogs like it also. I suspect he knows not of the full armor of God. Is it worth staying on watch for all night if necessary? So I might ask today, what's the fruit of the Lord worth to you? What's that worth? See, we want that fruit, but we don't want what it takes for that fruit to occur. We don't want to put the time and the effort in. Is it worth staying up all night if need be? People say, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to read that, and I don't have time. Is it worth staying up all night for? When I find my entering the dry places with the Lord, you can bet it's not the Lord. It's me. I've not done what's required. I've come upon stony ground, perhaps. I've entered a place perhaps not suitable for spiritual growth. Maybe some ground I shouldn't be upon. If so, I see many of those places, much of that ground before my eyes now. It's not the Lord, it's me. Often perhaps I become religious and exclaim joy, and only to find that I've tread upon shallow ground, that stony ground. And I find the blessing very short-lived, gone as a vapor. The Lord? No. Me. Our gardening, you might say, in our midst, consisting of a once-a-week meeting for maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And we wonder why there's no fruit. No increase, no harvest. And then that third seed, of course, we spoke of, it choked out by the cares of this world. And I'd say daily this occurs in all of our busy lives. We're all much too busy to prepare and care for the ground that brings forth the abundance. We spend plenty of time on a 4-inch piece of plastic, on the riches of this world, and far too little on the ground God has bestowed upon us. Do we not know in the beginning God, he created a garden, did he not? In a place called Eden. Now let me ask, for what purpose was the man placed there? Do y'all know? Genesis 3:15?
To dress and keep it.
What purpose did he save you? If he did. What purpose did he give you the body? What purpose did he give you today? What purpose did he give you the child? What purpose did he give you the position in life? What purpose? Could anything be more practical? More relevant? Why do you think God saved you, if indeed he did? Even to this day, are not the laborers few in the field? The fields wider than ever before. I've never known so many lost. We labor all right, and more than ever before, but we labor for that which is in vain. Vanity, I like that word. Do we not most often labor after vanity? All to do with earthly treasure. And all the while, the prize is ever before us. Oh, Lord, I'm not, and we pray, and God, would you, and Lord, but we're not doing anything in the ground. We don't, good ground. The seed's there. All the while, the prize ever before us, the heir, the Son of God's returning. What might he find in your life? Your garden, your ground. Shall you shine forth as the sun? What fruit shall you present? Barren fig tree? We've all received the breath of life, but for what? For the tree of life of good and evil? Or for the tree of life? I'd say we've all some gardening to do this morning. Daily. Where shall the seed fall today in your life? How does your garden grow? Perhaps it should be asked even, where does your garden grow? In Eden or in the world? On holy or on the cursed ground? Perhaps it's time we all take soil samples. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. In the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Is there any place in this earth that you cannot bring forth fruit? That your candle cannot shine? I'm afraid too often my own garden looks unkempt. How does your garden grow? The seed's fallen. God's omnipresent. Omniscient. Always there. He hadn't gone anywhere. God, how come they took it away. You didn't do anything. God, it came up, but it did. The sun, you planted it in the shallow ground. God, I'm just too big. I've got all these things going on. You've given me women and children and jobs and all. And I just, you're troubled with the cares of this world. That fellow over there, he's got. Yes, sir. He's got good ground. Good ground. How does your garden grow? Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've made the way. We don't know how a seed grows. The Lord said himself, we wake up and there it is. You've done that for us. All we need do is prepare the ground. Forgive us, O Lord, and let us be good stewards of the ground you've given us. And thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.